Well, we're starting to hear that it's back to work time. Yep, the kids just went back to school, but major corporations across the country are starting to notify their employees at all levels that it's time to come back to work. The work at home process seems to be winding down for a lot of corporations. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. My first reaction to this one was, suck it up, buttercup. You have to go to work. But the truth is, it probably is going to have impact on people's lives that got comfortable working from home, made arrangements, created new ways to live. And today we're going to find out more about that as we speak with my good friend Sim. Sim, thank you so much for joining us. Psychotherapist right here in town, not too far from our studios, and a guy I've gotten to know through your own podcast, which is very good, by the way. Tell us a little bit about your psychotherapy practice.
So the practice is called Horizon Within. It's right out of Poet Credit, and basically I focus on people that are going through life transitions, anxiety management, depression management, self-development.
And by the way, I've discovered the reason that you're here is that, you know, you meet some psychotherapists, they have certain attitudes and approaches. Yours is very conversational, very chat-like. And I thought you'd be a really good person to contact and have a conversation about this topic. People are going back to work. People that had worked from home and created a home office and a way of getting the kids to and from. And now some of the big corporations right here in Canada are saying, okay, but everybody's got to come back to work. COVID is long over and we need this interaction again. What are your thoughts, first of all, on companies doing that after all this time?
So there's two sides to that coin, right? And what's happening is we're hearing people taking opposing positions. And then it's kind of like an opinion where, whoa, you mean it's a job or, you know, it's convenience or it's, you know, work productivity or, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about is, and this is putting on a tinfoil hat and saying, you know, you always have other incentives or motives, right? Like, so for example, you know, when you look at the downtown core and they did a study and they're like, you know, with occupancy down, you have all these auxiliary businesses that are hurting.
Right.
So now all of a sudden, you know, it could be, and I'm just going to go on a limb here, the restaurant association saying, hey, look, you know, we have an entire industry that's losing 40% money because, you know, a person that went to work ate lunch or they went out for dinner
that's
afterwards.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Or, you know, you had company meetings and now all there's an entire catering industry that's kind of disappearing.
Well, not to mention the real estate industry, the building developers, the condo owners,
right?
All of these people that would make the core viable, more viable.
So you have all these lobbyists and what better way to market their needs by just niching in saying, well, you know, you need to get these people back to work and how do you force someone back?
Right.
So it's basically what I'm noticing is that, you know, you have all these moving parts, but the person that's stuck in the middle is the individual and what you just kind of mentioned earlier, where, you know, they created this new life, right? And they have a newfound appreciation for their value of time. So I'll give you an example. You know, you could have had an individual, right, that fed off being in people-centric environments. And for them, work was identity. And then you have this work from home mandate that got instilled about 5 years ago. And, you know, they realized over time that that new time value that they got is worth more than anything else that
right.
they have.
Yeah.
Well, now, one, they're trying to interpret that for themselves mm-hmm. because they've discovered something that's valuable to them that actually improves their productivity and quality of life. So it actually gives them that balance.
In life?
Overall, because right. a company's true incentive for any employee is rate of return on productivity,
mm-hmm.
right? So for every one unit input in pay, there's an expectation of at least 0.25% greater back.
Right.
That's in the theoretical world. Now, companies can't quantify that because then they come across as being insensitive, right? Because now how do you quantify a person's being?
Right. That's a good point, too. At your time, your life
right.
has a value to you that cannot be quantified.
And that's where I think where the polls or these margins are being presented. So one of the things that I work with when I work with somebody that's going through life transition is you kind of look at it through a spectrum, right? And you go, okay, either I am completely willing and I'm excited on change, mm-hmm. and that's one edge of the spectrum. And on the other is, you're going to need, you know, going to have to take me by the nails, right? Like just pull me, yank me, I'm not moving. So those are your edges, right? And then right in the middle is like, yeah, come see, come saw.
Right.
So minute you kind of go, okay, where do I usually sit? So in mental health, you kind of go, okay, if I sit on the bottom part of that spectrum, so that means change is not my friend, right? And I'm not ever going to be indifferent about it. So I sit somewhere here in the middle.
Right.
And on the other side of the spectrum, it's like I get excited with change, but, you know, I'm never going to be indifferent about it. So what happens is on this side of the spectrum, the bottom part, you're going to see more of like, oh, right? Like the motivation's gone, things are heavy, world seems a little bit more blue, right? On this other side of the spectrum, you're going to see more like angst, acceleration in thoughts. You know, even the thought of change kind of like propels your being, and all of a sudden everything's a blur and it's a spin cycle. So in terms of mental health, a lot of people, you know, once they realize, hey, where do I sit in that spectrum? Then what it does is it allows them to then see where the change needs to happen. So for example, take this individual that appreciates their quality of time. Well, before that realization, they would have sat here where excitement of change, because okay. they were going back to something they like,
right. yeah.
would be the true change. So now all of a sudden they're like, they're getting anxious, but it's anticipatory anxiousness to something they like.
That's interesting.
Right? But now, because they appreciate their time, they have an aversion to what they used to like.
Which must be a complex feeling within you. This was the core of my existence before and my driving force. I adapted to this. I found this new thing.
Yeah.
I maybe I'm wrong, but going home for COVID was an adaptation people either made with a certain amount of discipline and ease, or resisted horribly, or lived underneath a rock. And those seem to be all the different parts of the spectrum that you're talking about. I would imagine the people that really wanted to be sociable and work better, integrated with other people, have long since, I mean, this is some years later, have long since found other careers where they can find themselves integrating in the physical sense with people at work.
True, but the minute we get into how they changed and all of that, it dilutes the true measure of what they're feeling. So what this does is it brings it to the individual. Because once the individual understands where the shift is going towards and where they are, it allows them to then conceptualize what they're feeling. So like you said, you know, okay, I've created this life. So I've found a way to adapt, because we're looking at 4 years now. 4 years is
a long time.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
And for anybody, there's not a person on earth, and this is entirely the global thing, you know, we experience a phenomenon that we will never, ever experience again.
Hopefully.
Fingers crossed or not. But the point is, this is that we had to change in a way that we'd never imagined.
Yeah.
Right? So now, to many, what it is it's a silent trigger. Because now it's like, I have to rechange what I had to change to.
Right.
But now I started to like it. I'm enjoying it. Because yeah. it's shown me that hour and a half that I suspend in the car, all of a sudden compounded over a week, is almost 7 hours.
Well, let's touch on that. Now, right. I spend a lot of time in the car. Traffic is not easy in Toronto and major centers across Canada and the U.S. We're finding yeah. the same thing. Toronto traffic on par, apparently, with Mexico City at the moment. That's wild based on our population. By the time that I get home, I'm ready to take a bite out of the asphalt in my driveway.
Yeah.
Arriving home with that kind of energy
yeah.
or to work with that kind of energy, it sounds like it might be counterproductive to both life and work.
Right. Now, there might be a necessity to that, right? So now what you could do is you could say, okay, that is a forced necessity that I can't negotiate against.
Right.
So there's an acceptance.
In other words, I have to accept that reality, whether I like it or not.
Well, I have to accept that reality, and what can I do with it?
Because I recommend listening to podcasts, actually.
Right. But once you're out of your car, it better be going with you. See, in my profession, one of the most challenging things is that how do you change the interpretation that we give to a word?
Right.
And that makes a big difference. Now, I'm not an advocate for taking a word out or saying you can't use that word, but it makes a big difference because, say, for example, you know, I have to accept it whether I like it or not. Internally, that's a forced choice. Mm-hmm. I'm not giving myself a choice, right? But when you take a step back and you look at it and go, that's a non-negotiable choice. Because that's something that I have to work with whether I like it or not. Because that is part of the structure of the day, right? So now you could be like, okay, what do I do with it, right? So while you're in the car, podcast is your resource now because now you could say, hey, look, I know that I have an hour. That is my hour, how can I utilize it?
Audiobook, get educated, spend time on the phone with your parents or a loved one you don't get the time to otherwise.
Or you could practice meditation. It's your time.
Please, if you're practicing meditation, let's still keep eyes on and hands on the wheel and eyes on the road.
Right. Well, yeah. I'm not saying Shavasana.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying Shavasana.
Let's not leave our bodies, everybody, if we can, yeah.
But
you're right. There's a meditative moment and a certain amount of calm that you can take on that. So really what we're talking about is making adaptations to a new thing that is an old thing, but recognizing that your body, your chemistry, your mind, and your spirit have made adjustments and your body, we don't like to change, I don't think.
We like changing as long as we have an awareness of the transition. Think of this way, right? Remember when we had to go to school the first day,
mm-hmm.
like JK first day?
Remember it.
Well,
those were the drinking days.
Wish I'd met you then.
It was more fun.
World looked better, didn't it?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
The point is that, and you can even see it now, right? Like the kids that are like, oh, it's going to be so much fun and rah, 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 right? They anticipate the change differently.
Right.
Same thing with when you went into grade school. Same thing when you went into high school. Same thing when you... Right? Life transitions, as long as we have an awareness to it, it tends to become a part of our lives. When they're a little jarring, COVID, one of the most prime examples, because it didn't matter where you were or who you were, that was a unique life experience that threw kilter off everybody.
Yeah.
Okay? But based on your upbringing and your style of coping, that's where now the conversations become, okay, what did you do with it and all of that X values, right? So resistance to change, it's common. Adaptation to change is common. It's how we interpret either one. And that's why the spectrum comes in. Because now all of a sudden, irrelevance of like, you may have had, you know, a choppy childhood, right? But you have a desire for change. Or you could have had the most smoothest childhood and you have an aversion to change. So you can fall anywhere in the spectrum. The idea of the spectrum, I use that in clinic often, is so that we both know where you sit.
Right. You can start to find a better place on the map for yourself.
Because the idea is you have to go in a direction.
Ah, right.
So, and because now you have awareness, there's no more suck at a buttercup. There's no I have to accept it. There's more like, okay, what am I doing with it? How am I maximizing my resource for what it is here?
That's a very tough, that's a discipline that you really would have to, and I recommend people do if they can. If you're in that situation going back to work and you hadn't been for some time to the workplace, yeah, create a new plan for what that looks like in that transition for you so that you can better optimize life in that bubble. Now, I'll tell you, I do think that there will be added mental health days as people go back to work. I think that there will be disruptions in productivity. I do think that the corporations are still going to say, well, in that case, you must work harder or get into work earlier or stay later. And that might be an adaptation that people are not ready for, that they were off the clock at 4 o'clock and in the backyard, and now they might have to work till 5 o'clock and then drive home. That could have a serious impact on society.
Right. And so this is where, you know, if we're going to go with the private sector, right? Even though it's a sector, the architect is still a human.
Right.
So if the human, that's the architect, also recognizes that they have a tendency to change and acknowledge that human factor in them, the design and the structure will automatically have a human component.
Well, see, we adapted very quickly when COVID came into play. People were back at work and in Zoom calls within 6 months, and we were all pretty much trying to do our thing in that new bubble.
Right.
I would imagine the same thing will happen. But the one thing I will say is, I think once the pendulum, and this is human nature, once the pendulum swings in a direction, when it comes back, it goes just as far and sometimes further. So depending on the trajectory of where this goes, I don't think that there's immediately a happy medium for people in the workforce going back to work that's going to make them feel great instantly or not require a certain amount of adapting in life.
Right. So, I mean, that's the opportunity cost, right? Like the in a nutshell, opportunity cost is the cost of giving something up to get something, right?
Right.
Like, to Cole's notes, look it up. It's probably one of the most transformational theories out there, right? Like,
right?
Because it allows you to kind of understand, you know, for me to get something, what do I have to give up?
Right. Right.
And that is fundamentally true of anything we do, right? But not to get caught in the semantics of things, you know, you bring up a very good point. It's this pendulum that's swerving, right? Like from one polar end to the other. And people are trying to find their middle.
Yeah.
Right? Because at the end of the day, you know, you kind of go, okay, how much on this end of the shift I'm okay with? How much on that end of the shift I'm okay with? And how do I fit with it so it's consistent across the board? Right? Now, companies can kind of be a little bit more ingenious about it. And they could be like, okay, what jobs are asynchronous that there is no value for them being physically present or not present?
Right.
Right? And then you shake the tree and look, this is not, you can't go back to what was because there is no was. So you can take essences of what was and go, okay, how do we adapt going forward? What carries over? And because there's a human in the archetype, they look at it from a human lens rather than from a business productivity lens, because everything looks good. They have to remember that.
Yeah.
Right? Because at the end of the day, even in a corporation, there's humans that are working in that corporation. They're using a systematic approach that strips emotion out of it. I have an undergraduate in economics, so I understand where the rationale for numbers come in.
Right.
And that's why you have HR, because they bring in the abstract. Well, work collectively, right? Because if you're productive, you're productivity driven, the biggest thing that's going to interfere with productivity is mindset. And if, like what you said at the start, if I'm not happy being there, you actually are worse off because now you have somebody sitting in that chair that is actually not productive. And now you're spending more money to make them feel happy. So why not design it at the beginning? Why not account for this elephant in the room and say, hey, listen, how do we humanize this experience?
Now, corporations say, okay, you went home for COVID, we made accommodations and that's cost us and we've had to revamp and everything, but we've got to get back to our normal course of business. And I think that sentiment creates an anti-corporate feel among people.
Right, because they're trying to present a point that, hey, look, we accommodated you. We're just telling you we're restoring it back to how operations were. But that's not a true statement. And the reason why it's not a true statement is because you genuinely didn't accommodate the individual. You adapted to the environment to stay alive. Because the mandates were you couldn't be in office.
So but do we have to think of the individual at a corporate level?
Absolutely.
How can we possibly think of the individual when there's 15,000 employed?
But collectively, they're all sharing the same angst. It's a change that is individual to them. So you look at it and go, okay, you know, which jobs are asynchronous? You can shake the tree a bit, be a little bit imaginative, you know, and go, okay, measure productivity. You have a way of measuring productivity. And just look at productivity. Don't look at the person, what they're doing or who they are, whether they work in office or they work away. If you're going to do a sterile way of doing math, then productivity is your true marker, right?
Yeah.
Then you go, okay, if I have this person working at home, okay, fine, right? And you go, have a conversation with them. I know individuals that are far more productive working from home and they work in the private sector than they are when they go into office because, like you said, they're carrying that whole, like, 4 hours of wasted resource.
Right.
So while they're there saying, I could have done this work at home, but you just wanted me to plop in a chair. There's zero value. Well, that's the architect. If you're the architect of this design, that is your responsibility, where you look at it and go from department, okay, which components are asynchronous? Because you created these departments to function. Well, you can't just abolish them.
Where economics and psychology meet on this probably is where the solution lies.
Right, because you're looking at it from a humanistic and pragmatic way, because we all look at that. You know what I mean? Like, I have a philosophy, and it's a personal philosophy, and I call it the math of things. Everything, if you can find a way to, and I use the scale even for my personal self, because I kind of know, okay, you know, what am I feeling? And usually if I'm on the bottom end of the spectrum, it's more like physical feelings. Like, I'm not motivated. I can't get out of bed. One more rep, whatever, right? And then I don't just force myself, go, oh, get to the other side. I kind of go, okay, what's the contributing factor, right? Like, or if I'm on the other side and I'm like overly anxious and like, you know, I'm like, I can't get myself grounded. Well, okay, why am I here? But What I do is I look at it from an individual or that individual experience lens, right? So, for example, I offer in person, online, and phone, okay? I have clients that are very, I don't want to use the word traditional, but prefer, I think that's a better word. They prefer in-person experiences, okay? I have clients that prefer Zoom experiences because they believe that the amount of time they're going to spend coming to the office and then going back home is not worth the time they're going
to
spend.
No, I'll be honest with you. By the time I get to your office, it's 20 minutes for me to cool down from traffic. I leave your office, and then by the time it's all gone, all the good you did by the time I get out of traffic has long expired.
Right. And that's a perfect example where I have to now work with what's in front of me. Right. And perhaps, so I've had this experience where, you know, I had this one client and they were insistent that they get a way better experience of coming into the office because they like that discipline because made them get out of the house.
I can see that becomes a bigger experience for them.
Right. Yeah. But then they kind of experience what you just said, you know, where it's lost 20 minutes out.
Yeah.
Right. So one day I'm like, well, why don't we humor each other and let's try a non-office session. And then I go, you get fielder's choice online or on the phone.
Right.
Okay. They're like, you know what? Let's try on the phone. The next follow-up session, we were going to do like a little bit of a feedback, kind of like, you know, did it work? Did it not work? Blah, blah, blah. And that individual's like, I don't know why I never tried this.
Right.
And I go, what did you enjoy about it? They go, the fact that I could stay in my jammies.
Yeah.
And the minute I was done with your appointment, I was already home. I was able to actually continue the work we created.
That's what I think. I think that if you can stay in that state of mind for a period of time, it has better effects on you. And I will tell you personally, I've never had, I am married to a psychotherapist, and in all honesty, I probably get a lot of treatment every day. But officially, I've only ever done it online, and I can't imagine doing it any other way. And I think there's a whole generation that's experiencing that. Well, look, I'll tell you this. I think, this is just my opinion, I think back to work is going to be tough for some people. Some people could not wait for this to happen, I think. Not that they wanted COVID, but an opportunity to be in the place they work the best and works best for their life. And I think that there's going to be some trauma associated with changing that. I hope people reach out to their psychotherapist or somebody, a friend or somebody at work to talk to about this, because you're not going to be alone. If people wanted to reach out and maybe there is somebody that's going through this transition shortly that could be saved some time and hassle and feel better about the process if they speak to you. Where could they do that?
So the website is horizonwithin.ca, and you could go online, and then I offer a 15-minute consult that you can sign up for, and we can have a brief chat about what it is that you're experiencing in terms of your life transition. And some of the stuff that we talked about is basically the way I try to work with clients is I try to see where they are. And I try to see which items they value now that for them, it's a very big cost to give up. Because that's where their source of anxiety is. They're trying to understand, how do I now modify this? Because that's what it is. It's, you're modifying it. You're not giving something up. You're adapting. And, you know, to add to the point that we talked about, how do you bring it down to 15,000 people? How do you bring it down to X value number of employees? The same way that we were having the conversation where it's up to the practitioner or here, the human, the architect, to go, okay, what am I doing? And then working with that team, working with that department. Yes, it's a little bit of work, mm-hmm. but you're doing it for the long term. You're doing it for the long game. That is your responsibility for being in that position of power, you know? And like they say, with great powers comes great responsibilities.
Sim, thank you so much. You're a great guy to talk to.
Thanks for having me.
And I bet that you're just an amazing psychotherapist on that basis. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'll put the link to reach out to Sim in the description for today's show. But I want to say thank you very much for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe, tell a friend, like or dislike. You know, you hurt my feelings sometimes, but that's okay. I can't grow the hair back. I tried everything. But we would love you to stay with us and certainly interact in any way you'd like. It's important to us. Thanks. We'll see you next time.